So we're going to go right on into our plans for the upcoming convention. And we want everyone that's on here to give us some ideas, some things that you would like to see. We've been working. This is our first day where we're going to start working on it. And we're going to build off of last year. It went relatively well last year. We had some very good workshops and a great panel. And we thought that went over well. We're just trying to figure out some more ideas that would bring people to the diversity, equity, and inclusion platform.
Lee, we got a lot of folks from other states on.
Say what? We got a lot of what?
We got folks from other affiliates.
Yes, that's fine.
Okay. And if they want to remain on or...
They can.
Okay.
They,
all right. I just wanted to let you know. I know you were...
Yeah.
Back up.
Okay. So, first of all, I want to welcome you all that come in from different states. And, you can let us know some of your experiences in your states as well. That would basically work here in Indiana. We're always open for ideas, and we always try to open our platform here in Indiana to be more inclusive and let people know that truly are struggling. They're not the only ones struggling. We're struggling as well, trying to make sure that we bring the right people to our platform to educate us and also to give us some guidance.
Yeah,
we have two individuals here in the state of Indiana. That, you know, this is basically what they do. What they do is diversity, equity, and inclusion. Mm-hmm. And that's Dr. Reed and Dr. Kane. We're very thankful to have them on board. Is Dr. Kane, is she available?
She's not. I just talked to her a little while ago. She's pretty tuckered out. You know, she had a heart attack just a month ago, and she's still recovering from that. And today was her physical therapy. So, she's still working on that. But I'd like to take just 5 minutes, Lee, before we get into our state convention, to get feedback, get some comments, thoughts on a little bit of what Ms. Herring, and we can keep the time. Michael, maybe you can help us keep the time.
Well, I can do that.
Yeah.
Just can help us keep the time so we can get through stuff. But no, I just wanted reactions to that. She spoke a lot about, she spoke about some things that, you know, we are all addressing in our, in the, as a committee. You know, there are people who are struggling with the diversity, equity, inclusion. I'm a person that like to be upfront. And so just a reaction to what some of the things that she talked about that she's working on. And maybe if you have ideas on ways in which we can participate. I know several of us are on some of those committees she mentioned. I just like to hear what folks are, their reaction to what she said from some of our committees
Sarah.
Members or others. Go ahead, Sarah.
Hey, Dr. Evie. Hey, Lee and everyone. Thank you so much for setting this up. I honestly, wasn't really sure what to expect since I hadn't been able to make it to the previous presentation that some of the committee attended where she was speaking. But I really appreciate you all setting this up. And I think, I love the analogy of the extenders and, mm-hmm. and I think it also, to me, makes me think of like, how do we even then build access so that people can get into the table? You know, do we have people who are like describing, are there Braille labels on the, or large print and Braille labels like on the food items, like, right. Is there access to be able to access the food, just, mm-hmm. So I think that analogy could be taken so many different ways, but, I think, I just really appreciate the analogy. And I think another benefit of having the conversations about diversity, equity, and inclusion is, this is the direction that a lot of people are moving in the country. And it's been a long time coming. And so if we can be a part of these conversations, it's not just that we're working on it internally. We have an opportunity to collaborate and build partnerships and have a seat at the table. And so, one of the things that I am, interested in reaching out to her about is, the lawsuit that we just settled with Indiana FSSA about mm-hmm. providing accessible materials. You know, thanks to the NFB, we were able to settle that, and they're supposed to start doing that. But, you know, it's like, I'm still hesitant about whether or not they will follow through. And so it's nice to know that we have someone who, you know, she may not be the person who oversees that, but she can, it sounds like she cares enough to light a fire under someone if things aren't being addressed. So,
and Sarah, we shared some of those fact sheets with her. And one was about accessible technology, accessible websites, all those things. And she will be the person. She is the person, you know, that can at least help us get connected. And then, you know, it'll be up to us making sure as part of her strategic plan and her initiatives that those things are addressed in a timely manner. So thank you.
Yeah, I hope we can get a press release or something going about the case that was just settled. Because I think that's a little separate from that. I mean, it's related, but yeah, I'm really, really excited about it. So thank you.
Awesome. You're welcome.
This is Michael Love. First, concerning the FSSA, we do know folks now are getting Braille documents. So, right, will they follow through and do it for everyone and be consistent? That's another issue. But we do know that there's some progress there. The things that she talked about that I'm concerned with, first, she mentioned involvement, and I'm excited that she is getting involved with the statewide independent living center, this NSILC, because I think there's a lot of problems with that entity.
Yes.
Much of the state is not covered because much of the state does not have independent living centers, and a big swath of the state is just claimed by BOSMA for the financial benefits of it and really not being served. And I hope that's something that we really get under the hood of getting true equity for independent living services for people throughout the state in all counties. And we don't have that now anywhere near it. The other thing is she talked about conservatorships. That's been big news lately. Britney Spears and everything.
Yes.
And that by definition, saying that someone must be of sound mind to handle, you know, their affairs. They don't have to make the right decisions, but I'm just concerned of people in disabilities or that the blind, if someone is handling their affairs, that they have choices. It's not just an all, okay, this person oversees them and you have no say in the matter.
Yes.
So that maybe that's something.
I love
well,
that.
That is something, Michael and Dr. Reed and everybody, that we have on our agenda for the state convention.
Yes.
And so the individual from Disability Rights was going to come and speak to the Circle City chapter. We're now trying to align them with our state convention. We've already got the date and time set up, so we just have to pull it all together as we're doing the planning committee with the convention. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that'll be on Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m.
Okay.
That's the recommendation for that, and the conservatorship as well as the power of attorney for health and finances. So that should be that's something that we're working on, Michael, for the state convention. As you indicated, it is very important for people with disabilities, particularly those in our community, to know about their rights.
And there's such a thing as dignity of risk. So people have a right to make a mistake. And they learn from them. And that's how we learned. We learn. And I think sometimes when you get into these, you know, you talk about the conservatorship, guardianship, and all those kind of things, you know, people are saying, well, they may make a mistake or they may do that. People have that right. We've all done it and we've learned from it. And so I think that's part of development of that self-determination. And so I'm glad, Lee, that that's going to be on the agenda.
Okay. Is there anyone else that may have questions at this point in time about anything they heard from Dr. Herring or?
Hey, Lee. It's Ray. So, how y'all doing? Hey, Ray. It's Raymond. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. I just she spoke very well and had a very good strategic plan really put in place really to work across you know the state of Indiana. She touched on you know working. You know, not just really right here in Marion County, but across the state. And does the NFB, like, do we have a, you know, a plan to work collaboratively with other, you know, factors of the state, really to help them with some of their issues like transportation? Because I know that's a big concern in Northern. And my other question is she, like, going to help us, like, you know, enhance or does she have any ability to, you know, help us with any legislative, you know, concerns, you know? right now that we may be facing. Like
she did, she did indicate some of that in her presentation. And we must also keep in mind that, you know, she spoke a lot about the Governor's Planning Council for people with disabilities. Mm-hmm. And as much many of us know that, you know, blindness has not always been the, you know, the highlight of their conventions or, you know, when they hold their meetings. So it is incumbent upon us to make sure that we have a voice with her at that table. The saddest part about all of this is when we talk about blind issues, then as though we are the National Federation of the Blind, but there are other entities out there. You know, it is why I believe that until we all come together and start putting our agendas together so that we can be more collaborative and working in one force, that oftentimes things will go, you know, swept under the rug, won't be heard. So, but we will continue to keep her ear to the ground with us, and any suggestions, that's what we're looking for from any of our members. We leave an open door for anyone to come to our diversity, equity, and inclusion. And with this open door, we want people not just to put stuff on the listserv and then not come to the table and talk about these things. You know, it needs to be talked about.
How do we get that? People think it's not a thing, it's just about, you know, one particular issue or one particular race of people.
Absolutely.
It's
not,
it's more than
just that. We're not talking about that. It's more inclusive than that, than what we're trying to get accomplished across the state. Because, you know, like you just said, blindness up in Northwest Indiana, transportation is a big issue. So they don't have the inclusion of.
Right. I think the idea, and when I first met you, Lee, we were discussing this. I think the idea that the false idea that people have that, you know, all blind people have the same challenges or issues, and we, you know, all blind people have the same experiences. And just like it was false for Blacks, it's false for the blind. Depending on your geographic location, your experience, your intersectionality, your various identities, you're going to have different experiences. I think it's very clear in the we're talking about these topics at the national level. You know that women or girls in this organization have had some experiences, or people in general with folks mistreating them in different ways. So I think this notion that, you know, there's topics or issues that we should not take up, it's false. Just like it's, you know, false in it. Whatever the needs are of our membership is what we should be focused on. Not just, you know, as Kara said, I think she could, that was actually an excellent example that she gave, you know. So,
want to acknowledge Kane has raised his hand for comment.
Hi
there. Kane Brolin. I am president of a federation chapter that is up in the north central part of the state. So think South Bend, Elkhart, out there. Thanks for everything that you do. Economic development is the drum that I want to beat. I think, just to put in a nutshell, we all need to raise the bar of our standards higher. We not only need to be talking to chambers of commerce, but people with disabilities need to be in chambers of commerce. We need to be running for and gaining elective office, and we need to be employed in positions that allow us to leverage, to the degree that we should, the financial resources that Americans are all supposed to have access to if they work hard enough. So that's where I'm at. Employment, access to resources, and access to the table while these solutions are being designed. We need to have a say. We need to be a part of our government, not just begging for crumbs from our government.
Kane, I couldn't have said that better. That was awesome. And I love the fact that, you know, about the economic development and the opportunity that she put out there in terms of helping businesses and things like that, and providing that support with a focus on those underserved or those who are not, you know, haven't had that opportunity and have the idea of starting their own business. I'm one of those in terms of consulting and all those things. So I love that idea, and I think that is important, and perhaps that's something we can bring to the table for the state convention, having someone to come and talk about that, and how to go about starting a small business or something like that. You know, I think that's excellent.
Yeah, that was my third item I wanted to cover as well, because if folks going through the voc rehab system, they really won't assist people unless they've already started the business and have a little bit of revenue coming in. So if someone's really coming at this from the ground level, they're not providing assistance at all.
Yes.
And I hope we can get that addressed.
Okay. So what would we request that to be on the convention? Starting a small business, how would we want to present that to the planning committee as an item to be on the agenda?
Yeah, because I wanted to do a whole employment track.
So yeah. I'm thinking economic development.
Economic development and
initiatives or something like that. I'm doing grading, guys, so my brain ain't on titles right now.
Okay, so that goes right along with what you requested earlier in the first planning meeting, right, Michael?
Yeah, but I just specifically to Ms. Herring, because she brought that up as well.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah. Okay.
Who's next? Someone say something.
Yeah, this is Sarah. I mean, it sounds like just even I nominate Kane to speak on whatever this is going to be, because it's not just about starting our own businesses. It's also about, I think, yes, that's important, but I think the idea of how do we get from just begging for crumbs from the government to being a part of the government, or being a part of the you know, whether it's elected or employed positions that can really move these conversations further and put teeth to the advocacy efforts that we're engaging in. So I think yes, talking about small businesses, starting consulting and that sort of thing is important, but talking about just the importance of shifting that mindset.
Okay. Now, is there anyone else? I know we have other people on the call. And if you're from out of town, tell us some of your thoughts or some of the things that you may have done that you have had success with in your area. That would be helpful as well.
Brother Lee, this is Leron. Hello, everyone. You did ask for any suggestions. I think Brother Roland actually entitled something that would be very appropriate, just economic inclusion. And just a little snippet in regards to vocational rehab, parallel to the BEP and the vending program, they actually do have a direction that they will fund you starting your own business. But it's not like already set up and rolled out and diagrammed like the vending program is. You have to present your business plan to them. They will allude you. They will then give you the funds. Secondly, just to kind of piggyback and kind of just add on to what Sister Sarah was speaking of, it kind of seemed like, and I could be wrong, but it kind of just helped trigger the thought process of some of the other areas. When you're talking about just the raise in economic sufficiency and need when it comes to what those who get Social Security are getting, and that being versus the cost of living, being open to not just business and entrepreneurship, but also invest and things of that nature and that caliber. What businesses are very appropriate? Like right now, probably cybersecurity may be a very, very well received and well recommended, and something probably the blind community could probably do extremely well. So I just throw some of those things out there that we could all chew on as part of, you know, what we're trying to accomplish here.
Hey, Leron, thank you. It sounds like we're thinking about some kind of panel discussion of people from maybe different sectors. A little bit what Kane's talking about is being at the table, how to get involved, and maybe having some about investments. I know we had some people on a national call talking about that. Ali, what do you think about that?
Well, we had a panel discussion last year, and I think that went over well. I think that that's something that we want to do. You know, the committee can make up the decision to do that. You know, I know that you and Dr. Kane had worked feverishly last year along with Michael putting all the technology of it all together. So if that's one of the items that we would like to ask the planning committee to put on, I'm pretty sure that they would be receptive to that. So is that something that that you would like to see done there again, Dr. Reed?
In terms of putting together a panel?
A panel, mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah. And I'd like to work with Kane and whoever else would like to work together and kind of pulling that together and identifying folks.
Okay,
yeah,
that'll be good. Kane, you up to that? He might be muted. I'm pretty sure that he would be. So we can try to put together a panel. We can bring that into the planning committee so that we can get that on the agenda. Another thing, that workshop, I think the workshop was excellent mm-hmm. last year mm-hmm. and putting that together again, is that something that that you would want to do again this year, having a workshop or?
I think we can take the next step in terms of understanding. There's been a lot of conversation around critical race theory and all, you know, all these various, you know, topics and hesitancy.
Boy, has it been.
You know, so, and I think and I might not be the one to deliver this, but I do think there's a need to continue to invite people to the table and educate. And so I think having some type of workshop on that would be important.
I think that's you know, something that should be included into that workshop. That should be one aspect of it all.
Yeah.
And we can come up with other.
And in the sexual and the Sarah, your task force has your national task force has just left my mind. But I do think that's part of diversity, equity, inclusion as well. And are you all planning something for the convention?
So we are working on transitioning. So the survivor-led task force was just an interim assignment. But we are working on transitioning to a survivor-led group. And the national board is also sifting through, I don't know, but a lot of recommendations from RAIN and the special committee and from the task force. And so some of there may be other committees, there may be other things coming, but we are looking to transition to the survivor-led group. And so I would say, stay tuned.
I'm interested in particularly a slot for Indiana focused on folks here in Indiana, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talking about these issues.
I agree. I definitely think it falls within DEI, and I really hope that we can find ways to talk about things like consent and boundaries, because, you know, just... I'm really interested in, I'm kind of learning a lot through Consent Academy, and they talk about mm-hmm. Just microaggressions of all kinds are boundary violations. Yes. You know, if I come up and touch someone else's hair, mm-hmm. you know, whether they're from my culture or not, like without asking permission first or having a conversation, that is a consent and a boundary violation. Mm-hmm. If I address someone in a way that is not respectful of their identities, that is a consent and a boundary violation. Mm-hmm. And so I think talking about consent and boundaries is definitely an intersectional dialogue. And so I think that would be really interesting. And again, one of the recommendations that the task force did put forth was kind of starting like an advocate and liaison program mm-hmm. for affiliates and different things like that. So just like maybe educating people about how to be allies and actively engaged bystanders, knowing when to intervene and report or just how to offer support when people are facing either discrimination or harassment or abuse or different things like that. So I think there are so many directions we could go with this to help people feel empowered and included.
Yeah. So being culturally responsive kind of discussion. And would you be interested in participating in something like that and some kind of?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
I think I know of a few others
okay.
As well who could be. Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay, so would that be under our workshop?
Yeah, I think that would fall be great under our workshop, and we could pull some, you know, different aspects of that, you know, and have that conversation. I think that would be a mix of race, sexuality, you know, like you said, microaggression, you know, it has no boundaries. Mm-hmm. So.
Yep. Yeah, microaggression can come in many forms.
Absolutely.
Not just verbal, but written.
Yeah, absolutely.
Things of that nature. So
how to be an ally. That's awesome.
Yeah, trying to. Yeah. So we need to learn how to do that as well. Mm-hmm. As we say, we do have an open forum here, and we're always inviting each of our affiliate members, as well as from people from around the country, to join in with us and share these ideas so that we can come to the table and hash a lot of these hard feelings out, or these mm-hmm. feelings that are just stuck in our heads, the different biases that we all have. Mm-hmm. This here diversity, equity, and inclusion is not just about race. And some people need to get that understanding. Mm-hmm. Because some people just, you know, they just have tunnel vision like that, and not allowing them to understand that, hey, it's mm-hmm. not just race. We know that intersectionality, and we're working on that. We're all growing and learning. Yeah. Now, go ahead, Dr. Reed.
I just wanted to ask, one of the things that I'd like to, in attending the national and listening to, looking at what was posted on the listserv, I think another potential workshop would be in terms of how to engage it, facilitating difficult dialogues. We have a lot of folks mm-hmm. who are leading committees and other, you know, different things, initiatives, who haven't been trained on how to facilitate those type of dialogues. And I think having a training would be important. And I've been trained as an intergroup dialogue facilitator. I know Dr. Ruby has been trained a long time ago, and most recently she recertified. So I think that is another, because I keep hearing people saying, how do we address these issues? How do we, have this conversation? And I think, you know, the more people we can train, it's kind of the train to trainer model, the more mm-hmm. people we can train in those on how to do that. And even at, you know, our chapter presidents and people like that, you know, the better we can make sure that, you know, we are, you know, people are feeling connected and, you know, and promoting belonging, rather than, you know, folks feeling like they can't say anything.
Sarah?
Yep. Go ahead, Sarah.
Sorry, I know I'm talking a lot. I thought of another question or topic that I think it could just be a thread that's woven throughout it. But so it may not need a separate, mm-hmm. Workshop or mm-hmm. presentation. But I think what I'm noticing in a lot of these conversations, along with, I agree about having conversations or training on how to facilitate difficult conversations, but I think a big part of it is the concept of accountability. Mm-hmm. And what does personal accountability look like? What does community accountability look like? What does it look like for me to not just talk about, you know, oh yeah, biases exist, but like in the moment, I'm acknowledging and taking accountability that, like, oh wow, I just said this thing, and it may be based on this worldview that I have that may not be fully complete. Like, mm-hmm. how, you know, or if I made a mistake, how do I address that in the moment? How do I respond in a non-defensive way? I think that's a conversation.
And that's part of that facilitator training. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's part of the facilitator training. So that, yeah, that's absolutely, that's excellent. Thank you for bringing that up.
Okay. I'd like to hear from anyone else out there that may have any other suggestions or any thoughts. You know, nothing is, beneath us right now. So just open up and ask different questions if you have something that's on your mind, or something that you would think would be valuable for us to use during our convention this year. Once again, if you're from out of the state, you can share with us some things that has been helpful with you all, and we can take that under advisement. Okay.
Hey, Lee.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. What about what if we had like a maybe like a small panel of people from just different marginalized communities, like maybe someone from like, you know, Hispanic or, you know, LGBTQ community, or, you know, someone from Southern Indiana, rural Indiana, you know, just to really talk about what equity and inclusion kind of means to them and where they are in the part of the state of Indiana.
And that would be, that's a good suggestion. I know that we have, well, we have chapters in the state of Indiana, and we have the new at large, you know, chapter. And
I love that better than my idea.
And I think that would be something that we may want to entertain. Tyler, are you still on?
Yeah, he just raised his hand.
Okay, Tyler, you want to go ahead and speak?
Good evening. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. I second on having a committee like that, because I would be very willing to give my I want to be careful how I say this, how I understand the world a little bit, and so I think that the having the committee would be a very good idea. It would be educational for everyone, and where everyone comes from, because we're made in this we're made in the same image of God, and regardless of who you are and skin color, race, creed, religion, etc. So I think that would be a very good idea to have that for the to have a committee for the state convention.
Okay. We wouldn't necessarily make it a committee, but it would be something that we would include in our workshop or at the convention, or even maybe include on the panel. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, okay. So we got that down. Thanks for that, Tyler and Ray. Are there any other suggestions out there? Because we're really trying to build up on this. So we can get into our planning committee's hands so that we get everything scheduled out and that we can have a great part in this convention again. I would like to bring up one thing that we don't often talk about, and we do talk about it, but we're always talking about employment, but there's a road to get to employment, and that's through education, educating blind students, or educating our students so that they can have the proper tools to compete. So I don't think we do enough talking about that or trying to put that into action to find out where we are with education of our students from, you know, K through 12 and on into college and universities. Dr. Reed, you want to kind of speak on that a little bit? You're in that field.
I'm sorry, Lee. I missed what you said. My son came in with talking to me. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Say it again. I'm sorry.
Well, we're talking about education. You know, sometimes I think we put in the cart before the horse with our young people, because we talk about employment often as adults. Yes, as adults, we are looking for education, but you need to be prepared for the workforce. Could you talk about some of the advantages and disadvantages that you see for blind students or students with disabilities as far as getting prepared for the real world?
Well, I think, you know, it's been my experience, at, you know, in higher ed as a student and now as a teacher and then as a professor, that, you know, sometimes in these spaces, you know, that the accessibility or the, you know, things may be accessible, but there's still time it takes to navigate those things that they say are accessible are not taken into the consideration. For example, in the state of Indiana, and thanks for bringing this up, Lee. I'm always in your ear about this stuff. In the state of Indiana, the legislature passed and require universities to graduate students in 4 years. And so our academic advisors are not able to create a plan past those 4 years. And so for many of our students, they go in to college taking 15, 18 credit hours. You know, back in the day, we were on quarters. And so 12 credit hours was considered full time. Although 12 credit hours is continues to be considered full time, a 4-year plan is based on 15 to 18 credit hours per semester. what you're talking about, 5 or 6 classes with 3 credit hours, you know, courses. That does not consider all of the additional responsibilities a person who's managing their accommodations. You know, even if you have, you know, all that, you know, the you know, access to the information, you're still accessing it in a way that's different and time consuming. Using screen readers, no matter what you have to do. I recently have a student who is in a doc program and is required to take a statistics course. And, you know, the diagrams and graphs and all those things are not accessible. I had the same issue in my field. It's very much data driven, and everything gets grafted. But there was no resources for me to read those graphs or for me to make the graphs. It's a time that I have to take with someone else to get those things done. And so I think we're talking about education, and, you know, Indiana has that initiative and this goal of, you know, making sure everybody, you know, a high percentage, I think it's 60%+ of our citizens have some type of post-secondary education. Blind people get left behind when we have laws that, you know, are really challenged, that make it more challenging for them to participate in higher ed. So I think those are things that we need to continue to talk about and raise awareness about. I understand on the flip side, we want people to not graduate with a lot of debt and that kind of thing. But, you know, we also need to make sure that our students and folks are staying mentally and physically healthy and successful. It is really hard when I come into the scene working with students. Typically, they've gone through a lot of crisis and self-esteem stuff from not being successful. And I think we can flip that around if we start thinking about these things on the front end rather than, you know, and I'm sure Sarah and others can speak to that as well.
And I think also that would maybe make a good resolution if we can pull that in a form of a resolution, mm-hmm. and see what the resolution committee would think of that. You know, so the resolution committee at our state convention is supposed to be open to everyone. Mm-hmm. So I think if we can get some people on this call to maybe send some suggestions like that, how we can make a resolution.
Share their experiences as students.
Mm-hmm. Because it's very vital that because a lot of students now, even mainstream students, are leaving high school and coming unprepared for college.
Yes.
You know, as well as physically, as well as mentally.
Yes.
So and academically. So, you know, I pity you guys that have to deal with that so much. You know,
this is Alex. Oh, sorry.
Yes, go ahead.
This is Alex Gilland. I would definitely like to play a role in that in some capacity or another. I am a VR counselor down here in Clarksville. And I got this full-time job as a result of the internship program that's done through Eskenazi Health, Gregory S. Fehrerbach Center, basically.
I'm very familiar with it. Uh-huh.
So I would be more than happy, either through a panel, through if it's one of the main items on the agenda, mm-hmm. I'd be more than happy to talk either about my experience and how I kind of went through that. I went through a lot of frustration with internships. Mm-hmm. And I actually did a lot of in grad school, the one semester I did it, I did a paper and it was about things like underemployment, where mm-hmm. you work your tail off through college and then you end up basically getting a job with something that never required probably even a high school diploma. And it's really sad. And I read there were some stories of, like you mentioned, the 4-year thing. I couldn't have done it in 4 years. And heck, turned out 5 years wasn't enough for me. But
me either. So it's okay.
So what I would say, I mean, there were stories and where when it's such an academic rigor. So, you know, sometimes what will happen is those things get pushed to the side a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so it takes more time. Oh my gosh, like you've got such a full load. And then unfortunately what happens is that it comes down to the end and it's like, oh my God, what am I going to do after I graduate? I haven't even met with my career advisor yet. I haven't done this. And so,
yeah. So what you're saying, all those things make it more difficult for you to get those other experiences, right?
Yes. So, yep. So it's in addition to the things that you've been saying, just kind of some more examples of some of the things I read about through kind of my disability literature research that I did. And I'd be more than happy to talk about my internship experience through that program. And I'm very grateful that I've had it. It's actually pretty much has me right where I'm at. I'm going to just be honest. The state is a little slow in providing accommodations. I probably am preaching to the choir when I say this, because it's through FSSA and all that stuff. I am using my personal laptop to navigate through VR. And it's been like almost 3 months. Wow. So if not for my internships, and I'm going to make sure if we have a, you know, if I do get a chance to talk about it, I'm going to definitely emphasize this. If not for those internships, I'd be screwed right now. And a lot of other blind VR counselors in the state, I've heard stories about how it's taken 4 or 5 months. Maybe that's even being generous to get your accommodation. So that's what I have. But I'd love to definitely play a part in this to some capacity or another.
Thanks, Alex. Absolutely. And that's, again, something we want to put on the agenda because that falls right up under Kara's responsibilities in terms of the state and how they go about supporting, you know, the public-private initiatives of employment. So that's awesome.
Well, I think that's, Alex, we're going to really talk to our planning committee regarding this. I think that would be a great gateway to have on there. That's something that we haven't had, I don't think, in the past few years. So I can't recall that. So we will be pushing for that, and we have your contact information, don't we?
Oh, mine?
Yes.
Oh, I'm vice president of the large chapter.
Oh, you're the vice president of the large chapter. Okay. Yeah. I did not know that. Okay.
And so, I'm excited that we got some new folks on the here in Tyler and Alex that I've met Kane before. I think this is excitingly.
Tyler and I have been down this road. Okay. We've just, I think we're kind of just coming into our prime, but we've been a part of the NFB for 12 years.
Coming to this particular meeting, the day committee and finding out what's going on. And hopefully as we work all together, we can help, folks who are struggling with this, understand the importance of it and how this is only going to benefit all of us, you know.
Yeah, I think we have Abby. Is Abby still on here as well?
No, she left.
She left. Okay. So, I have to reiterate what Dr. Reed said. We have people here that I know that they have a lot of things that they would like to talk about, but we want to make sure that people understand that they are welcome. And this is, an open forum, and you don't have to be embarrassed or because all you have to do is be respectful, and we can move forward in the state as well as around the country. So I think we got quite a few ideas here so far this evening. I know I would like to. Okay, so it's 8:20 p.m. right now, and I would like to hear from Kane regarding an initiative that he wanted to talk about here in the state of Indiana. So we will be meeting as a committee between now and next month, and we will be having our next meeting the end of August, the last Monday in August, and we'll be putting that information out there. And in between time, if you have any suggestions, you can send them to Michael Law, myself, and we will be trying to work on our listserv for the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee. so that we can communicate that way as well. So, Kane, are you there? Kane Brolin, are you there? Okay.
Brother Lee, I just wanted to let you guys know I needed to leave. I'm actually out here in Wichita at the B-Ball World Series. We're actually going to have a team meeting, but I will email you a couple of things. But I just want to touch base with y'all and just let y'all know where I was going. It's like, oh, he just dropped off the call. So y'all take care.
Thank you, and good luck to you.
Brian, good luck.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. All right.
All right now.
Y'all take care. And I seen President Brown out here too. So y'all take care. Keep on keeping on, and we'll talk to you soon. All right.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. So, since we can't get Kane Brolin on here, let me try to buzz him up real quick. Dr. Reed, you want to continue on? We just
got
about 8 minutes.
I do want to mention something real quick here.
Sure. Go ahead, Michael.
I'm starting to create a web page of our effort, so that's where I need input, especially from you, Lee, and Yvette, and anyone with resources relevant to DEI and our objectives and education, understanding. And so I've just created a page on our website, nfb-in.org/DEI.
Okay.
Right now, all it has is a link to this event tonight, but I'm going to put our statements up there and just some good relevant resources. I want to try not to bog it down with too much, but just really some stuff to get people thinking in the right direction and explaining things. So if people, you know, have questions about CRT or whatever, critical race theory, whatever it may be on their mind, so they can understand, you know, what these objectives are and how they work and where the debate's coming into play, and you know, so
excellent. Thank you. I think Kane just joined us again.
Yes, he did. So, Kane, you there? He's going to unmute himself. Okay, Michael, I think that's a great idea there, and you know, we all need to get together and collaborate on that. We also had stated that we were going to work on a listserv, so we may want to really start seeing how we can get that established for the DEI as well. So, Kane, are you there?
Hey, Lee.
Is he on Chico? Muted? Yes, Chico.
I want to get...
Okay, guys, can you hear me?
Well, yes. I'll let Kane go ahead and do it.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead, Kane.
Okay, I believe I'm on right now. Well, you know, if you live in the United States of America, there's no better way to get dignity than through a job. And hopefully it would be a job that pays a living wage and allows people that are blind and have other disabilities to do some of the things that represent perks for most people in middle class society, being able to take a vacation, buy a plane ticket, buy a home, raise a family, and have a path forward to building a legacy. It's hard to do that, though, when you don't have somebody that you can rely on that has actually proved that they have success in that area. Someone that can sort of help set attainable goals, help you be accountable to do little things that are necessary to make the big things work for you. And it's that peer-to-peer counseling and empathy area that the NFB is trying to build in through its career mentoring program. And this exists in several different states, but not everywhere. In fact, I believe now it's only active in 4 states because funding is required from state government to make this happen. And that can happen in a number of different forms. But the point is that this funding allows for a multi-platform approach so that a single individual in need of mentorship can be tracked all the time or, you know, frequently, even on a monthly basis by someone that's been there that's going to help them elevate to the next level of their life, whether that means getting through college, learning how to write a resume, network, get through that job interview. We can really help someone take baby steps and build the table legs, the legs onto that table of success that allow them to have more confidence and more stability and progress forward and know that they can do it. So the mentorship program is being retooled a bit this year. It's going to come out with sort of a version 2.0. I won't know a lot about that until a meeting on August 18th, when we're going to hash a lot of this out and be in a phased rollout. But we really want to pitch this to legislators and people in administrative positions that need to know it, during the fall and in the next legislative session so that we can actually get a stable and persistent NFB mentoring program with boots on the ground in Indiana very soon. That's the essence of it. I hope everybody was able to hear that and be glad to answer the questions I can't answer.
Yeah, Kate, I have a question and I have a comment. That's excellent. Actually, that's another area of my expertise. I've been running a mentor program for the last 20 years. I ran it at the Ohio State School for the Blind when I taught there for 10 years and moved on to create one at Ohio State. And now I have one here at Ball State where I am now. And so I've been doing mentoring and connecting mentors to students for a very long time. And it sounds like you're not just talking about students, you're talking about individuals, blind individuals in general. I would suggest to you that there are grants, national grants, and there's one out right now for $2 million that the NFB could apply for. I'm not sure. It's nonprofit are eligible to apply that can help facilitate that funding mechanism because you're right, it needs funding to support that mentoring program. Also, there's lots of foundations that will support or have funding, and it may give you a little bit more freedom than what individual state governments would give you, but also give you time to develop. As towards sustainability. So you have, you know, 4 or 5 years based on whatever grants you apply for, you'll have some time to put that into place and work with various state legislators and getting that forward. So I would love to know more about the committee that's putting that together give you any other information.
Well, you know, and we do have to operate under a set of national guidelines that are being formed. The mentorship program and the National Federation of the Blind sits underneath it's a subset of the employment committee. And I happen to be on that committee.
Okay.
Some other extraordinarily talented people are on it, but there is a national model for doing this. And I'll know more about what that's going to feel like after August 18th. And love to talk to you at that point. You know,
Absolutely.
It would be great to get some private funding in the beginning to have some success stories. It's always more easy to sell a legislator when you have a success story,
Amen.
Someone that can trot out there that has already gotten it done, you know, in their backyard, and then they'll want to take credit for that success. So let's be in touch. I'm very excited about that.
Excellent. Great.
Okay. Well, we've reached the 8:30 time frame. We're a little bit over, and we want to thank everyone for joining in with us tonight. And those that were listening in, if you have any ideas or any suggestions or just a comment or something that you just, you know, just want to get off your chest sometime, just be sure to get in touch with us. You know how to reach us through the listserv as well as through our personal emails. And as Michael has indicated, we'll be putting more information up on our website regarding Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee and how to contact us. So we want to thank you all once again for joining in with us.
Thank you, everyone.
And yes. Be sure to, you know, share this information when we do meet and what we're trying to work for, because it's for the betterment of each of us as individuals, each of us as chapters, state affiliate, and as a national organization. So we just want to say thank you once again for your time, and we look forward to hearing from you prior to our next meeting, which will be the last Monday in August. So take good care, everyone, and God bless.
Thank you all.